You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 18, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18. Excuse me. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a SoundCloud taping and Truth Social taping. We're on Truth Social now. When we go off the air, we still pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads. We pray for healing, and we pray for deliverance, and He often operates in the wonderful gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and Truth Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God's school to His church. He's a very wise professor, schoolmaster, knowing everything. And He takes us from kindergarten, when we first become a Christian, all the way to a college graduate, so that when He comes back at the seventh trump after the Antichrist, His bride will be perfect, without spot and without blemish, His church. Now, in the first part of Hebrews 9, God told Moses to make a mosaic temple. The children of Israel had just gotten out of bondage, slavery in Egypt, and they were traveling through the wilderness on to the promised land. Remember, Messiah, Jesus, would eventually come through that lineage. And He said, make it after a pattern in heaven. In other words, we only mock and imitate what goes on in heaven. It's called the Mosaic Temple. And of course, it was made with a tent so they could move it, lambskin. It had three sections. It had the outer court, where the people would worship there, and then it had a veil. And then the inner court, the priest would go in there. That's where he'd do his good things. And then we had one more veil, the Holy of Holies. And inside that was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. God's presence was there. And once a year, the human high priest, first Moses and then his brother Aaron, would go in there, and on the mercy seat, they would put the blood of animals for a temporary substitute forgiveness of sins. It was all a type and shadow that one day the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus, would come and His blood would be sufficient once and for all. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, one blood and one judgment day, but in four stages. One blood and one judgment day, but in four stages.
Verse 18, whereupon the first testament was dedicated without blood.
Testament is a covenant, a contract, no blood yet. You can read about that later in homework, Genesis chapter 12. God was looking for someone who would listen to Him so He could send His son to save the world. And He found a man named Abram. And Abram was in heathen land, and Abram was married to Sarai. God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your father's country into a land. I'll tell you when you get there. And I want you to leave it and go there. And in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. You'll be called the father of many nations. You'll be blessed. But Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarah was about 65. They were past childbearing age. They had no seed. They had no son. But nevertheless, Abraham obeyed. But notice there was no blood yet.
Verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law.
The law is the word of God. Now, while they did not have the New Testament, Holy Spirit had already dictated to Moses the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So while the people waited in the outer court, Moses, before God appointed his brother Aaron to be high priest, would go into the inner court, and he would read the word of God to them. The word was in Hebrew originally, and they spoke Hebrew, so he didn't have to explain anything. And so he read it to them. Notice it says precept, because Isaiah 28 says the word of God is to be taught precept upon precept, line upon line. And Paul says, read this epistle to the church. And so that's the way it's supposed to be taught. Okay, let's see what else happens here. No blood yet.
He took the blood of cows and of goats.
Oh, okay. Once a year then, the human high priest would go behind that second veil in the Holy of Holies and take the blood of cows and bulls and put it on the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant. And that was a substitute for a sin atonement until Jesus could come and take care of it all in full. But that's only the third stage. The fourth stage would be when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. But there were two stages before this. Okay. See, God knows we're in kindergarten, and we have to take it one step at a time. So in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham had obeyed God, he and Sarah, Abram, Sarai, Abraham, Sarah. And so God said, Abraham, I want you to take some animals here, divide them in half, heifers, rams, sheep, etc. And I want you to put them side by side and let the blood flow between them. Well, blood, says Abraham. Okay, he obeyed. When it became very dark, a horror came upon Abraham. See, when you think of blood, you think somebody's going to kill you. All of a sudden, between the pieces, walking in the blood, was a smoking furnace and a flaming fire. When we get to Hebrews 12, we learn God is a consuming fire. Where there's fire, there's smoke. It was Almighty God, a pre-incarnate Jesus, who later would be Emmanuel, God with us, walking through the blood. And that was the first stage of that blood that washes away our sins. Jesus was letting Abraham know, I'm going to come through your lineage, and I'm going to shed my blood for the risk of sin. That was stage one. Stage two is found in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now, Abraham's pushing 100 and Sarah's pushing 90. Still no child. But God's promised them to give them Isaac. And Isaac's son shall all nations of earth be blessed, because eventually the Messiah Jesus will come through that. So God said, Abraham, I want you to circumcise the foreskin of your man part. Let a little blood be there. And I want you to circumcise every male, boys and men. And when your son Isaac is born, circumcise him too. It was a type of the fact that blood had to be shed for the remission of sin. So when Isaac was born, the first son, the only begotten son of Abraham, he circumcised his son Isaac, which was a type and shadow. Isaac was the stem of Abraham, and Jesus, the Son of God, is the stem of God the Father. And Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Now the third stage are these bullocks they put in the Mosaic temple, but the fourth stage and the final stage, one blood, all leading up to that, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. While the blood, because the life is in the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
With water.
Now, the high priest took in there, the Holy of Holies, with the blood, water. Why did he take water? Well, what do you use to take a bath? Water. It cleans you. Okay. Jesus is called in John chapter 4, the living water. And Paul says in Ephesians, we're washed with water by the word of God. Well, who is the word? John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst Jesus. Amen. So the water was a type of Jesus going in there. What else did the high priest take in there?
With scarlet wool.
Scarlet wool. Scarlet is color red or crimson. Scarlet is crimson. And when you get a crimson or scarlet stain in a garment, no kind of Clorox or bleach can get it out. Boy, you can't wash it out. You can't bleach it out. Isaiah chapter 1 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be like wool. Though your sins be like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. So he took the scarlet and the wool in there. That was Jesus too. The water of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. He took one more item in there. What was it?
And hyssop.
Hyssop. Now I learned that hyssop, and I bet our Mama Jo friends know this, is a healing herb. Grouchy, ouchy, Fauci, the masked man, should read the Bible. Hyssop will heal flus and viruses and heart disease and colds and all kind of things. Also in the Bible, one of the foods that heal is garlic, raw garlic. I mean, it's an antibiotic. So they took hyssop in there. Why? Jesus is Yahweh. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, your healer. Just before he went to the cross to shed that blood, Jesus was beaten with 39 stripes. So, Isaiah 53:5 says, with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. So all of that is Jesus.
Amen. And sprinkled both the book.
Now, Moses out there, the people are waiting there. He would sprinkle the book with blood. Why in the world did he sprinkle the book? What's the book? The Torah, the Bible. You sprinkle the Bible with blood? Yes. What is the book? It's the word of God. Who's the word of God? Jesus. Jesus was sprinkled with blood in Psalm 22. When he was dying on the cross, teaching from the cross, he looked down at his body and he said, I'm a worm. He wasn't calling himself a worm. It was a figure of speech. They used a crimson worm to make red dye. They would take the blood of the crimson worm, put it in a basin, dip the garment in it, the garment would come up red. So Jesus says, I look like I've been dipped in blood. That's why they sprinkle the book. Jesus was sprinkled with that blood.
And all the people.
Moses sprinkled all the people with blood. Why? I don't care how nice you are, how sweet you are, how much I love you. Except your sins are washed away with the blood of Jesus. You will walk into the lake of fire on Judgment Day. You will not go to heaven. So if you're really, really saved, he sprinkled you with that blood.
Amen. Verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.
Moses explained to them that it was all symbolic of the soon coming Messiah. Well, quite a few years from that.
21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle.
Oh, he sprinkled the whole tent, the tabernacle. Why is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, you, Christian, are the temple of the living God. You're the tabernacle. And you are supposed to be sprinkled with blood. In your social life, in your vacations, nothing but the blood. In your work, in your play, in your prayers, in your cell phones, in your computers, in everything. You're rising up. You're to be sprinkled with the blood. And you don't forget it 1 minute.
And all the vessels of the ministry.
All the vessels of the ministry. They have all these little dishes and things. They sprinkle them with the blood. The Bible says that you, Christian, are supposed to be a vessel of value to the Lord. When you got saved, you were supposed to immediately roll up your sleeves and do some good. Otherwise, he would have taken you home to heaven. What does a vessel do? It carries something in it. You carry Jesus Christ in you. And if you're ashamed of him on your dates, in your vacation, in your work, your play, your cell phones, are you really sprinkled with the blood? You are to be a vessel of value 24/7. Never a vacation from that.
Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
The law is the word of God. God's law in heaven says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Because the life is in the blood. And now we see why. Through those three stages, the fourth one happened. And Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins.
Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these.
In other words, this was just a pattern of what was going on in heaven.
But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices.
There's no animal blood on that mercy seat in heaven.
Than these.
Than those animals.
Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands.
The body of Jesus did not enter in there. All of that was a type.
Which are the figures of the true.
It was a type and example of what goes in heaven.
But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God.
Can you imagine that reunion? Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He arose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And he's got the blood. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father, God the Son. God the Father, the Son had never been separated. They were always one. There had to be a longing for each other. As God the Father watched all those 33 years of his Son, because the greatest thing he ever did, there had to be a longing of the Son. That's why Jesus would pray all night long. To heck with sleep, communing. Can you imagine the reunion? Father says, welcome home, my son. The son says, I did it, Dad. And Jesus takes that blood and put it on the mercy seat of heaven. It is there right now. For all eternity, the centerpiece of heaven now and forever will be the blood. That's the most beautiful thing in heaven. Revelation 21 says the streets are of gold, the gates are pearl, the walls are jewels. But we will all gather around there like the beautiful table centerpiece, the blood. It speaks. It speaks. I died for you. Your sins are forgiven. The life is in the blood.
For us.
He did that for us.
Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others.
Those human high priests had to do that once a year because the animal's blood was not sufficient but to last 1 year.
Verse 26. For then he must have often suffered from the foundation of the world.
If Jesus had to pay that sin debt over and over and over again. From the time sin began, the foundation is a Greek word, katabole, Satan's rebellion, and the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, the first earth age, when Satan said, I will be God. From that time forth, Jesus would have to come back in every generation and die for our sins all over again. Lord, have mercy.
But now, once.
Only one time. Once is sufficient. One and done.
And the end of the world.
The world is age. In other words, that blood covers every sin. The first earth age, our sins here, and all throughout eternity, forever. Remember, in heaven, there's a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their crimson stains.
That he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
And that was the fourth stage, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, 7.
Verse 27. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Okay. There's a final judgment day for everybody. But there are four stages of it. The first judgment began in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, the first earth age, when Lucifer rebelled. Nobody was in their flesh, but Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, ere the silver cord breaks when we die, the spirit, your spirit, returns to God who gave it. When you return, you were there before. We're all there with God before Lucifer rebelled. But when Lucifer rebelled, one third of the children of God, also called angels in Revelation 12, betrayed God, committed high treason, that was sin, and followed Lucifer, that old dragon. There was one third there that did not betray God. There's a third missing in Revelation 12 because they're the lukewarmers of the church of Laodicea in Revelation. They make God sick. So, God had a judgment documented in Romans 8, verse 29, 30, 31. God said, for whom he did foreknow, knew before. All of us he knew before we were in our mother's womb. Knew us there in the spirit body. He did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Judged. That's the first judgment. And whom he judged, he glorified. Most everybody was guilty. Only one third was not. God loves his children. Let us make man our image. I'm going to make you a man body. I'm going to send you one time in the flesh, in the second earth age. My son will go to you and take a body, pay you sin debt. That is why everybody is here. You are not here for fun or leisure or money or greed. You are here. It's your second chance. That third's here to bring forth the oracles of truth to everybody you meet. 24/7. Now that's the first judgment. When is the second judgment? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as a human being dies, there's no pause, there's no confusion. Your spirit steps out of your dead body. You don't need the body anymore. It's just a piece of flesh. And you're in the presence of the Lord. So you say, well, goody, we're going to heaven. Wait a minute. The Lord is Jesus. You're in paradise. That's good, pleasant place. But there are two sides. Homework, read Luke 16. If you're saved, you are judged, the second phase of judgment. You may go to the good side where Abraham is. If you're lost, that's your second judgment. Go to the bad side. Now you notice in Luke 16, The rich man, it's a parable, says, I'm tormented in these flames. He's not talking about fire because his spirit, the spirit body doesn't burn. He's talking about that flaming fire, which is God. He sees God over there and he's tormented that he can't get over there. Okay. The third stage is found in Revelation chapter 20. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Antichrist is about to appear. His time's been short for the elect's sake, thank goodness. Mark 13, Matthew 24 to 5 months, Revelation 9. And after the Antichrist comes Jesus. That is the day of the Lord, and we'll all be in our spiritual bodies. And there's going to be teaching on earth, nobody's flying away, by Jesus and the Zadok. At the end of that millennium, there's a great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. This is judgment day. For all those on the wrong side of the gulf now, and all who are lost on earth, unless by some mercy, God has mercy on you during the millennium. And the books are open. Why the books? God keeps books in heaven of every one of you. Everything about you is in that book. Good or bad. And another book will be open. And that is the book of life. Why does God do that? They're lost. He knows they're lost. Why did he just make them go to the lake of fire? Because God is fair. He does not do kangaroo courts like Liz Cheney calling Kathy Hutchison to say, somebody told me that they saw somebody, that they said somebody said about President Trump. Lord have mercy. That's heresy. I mean, nobody can cross-examine. Not Jesus. Nope. Open your book. Here you are, Jimmy. Wow, you did a good thing here. Uh-oh, something bad. No sin can enter heaven because that Jesus, the fourth stage of his blood, washed away every sin. So no sin can enter heaven. So if you're not saved, he checks the book of life. Your name's not in the book of life, no reservation there. And the lost are judged the third day and walk into the lake of fire. The fourth and last stage of judgment day, it's for God's Christians who are saved. Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. Paul is talking to the Christians, brothers and sisters of the church. He's not talking to lost people. He says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to the church. The church also will be judged. We're not saved by works, but the moment you got saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Every moment of your life from then on in, what should I have you do? What do you have me do? You're not about comfort. You're not about leisure. You're not about money. You're not about fun. You're here on a mission. You got an assignment. And it's going to put all of our works in the fire machine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If your works don't burn up, they're called gold and silver. And it's rewarding. You get a reward for winning souls to Jesus, for giving your time and talent and money, giving your life 24/7 to him, which you're supposed to do. Reward. But there are going to be saved people there. Whoa. Psst. Wood. Hay. Stubble. Saved. Yet so is by fire. And you hang your head.
Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Salvation is saved. Jesus is Yahweh, and he's the Savior. When he comes a second time, the only ones going to be saved are those looking for him. Mm-hmm. Revelation 13 says the whole world will think the instead of Christ, the fake Christ, the Antichrist is God, and they'll be worshiping him. So they won't be looking for Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that one half of the Christians will be deceived by the Antichrist. He has two horns of a lamb, the power of Jesus. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. He comes before Jesus. One half of Christians will not be looking for the real Jesus because they're going to go and marry the devil pretending to be Jesus. But there will be one half of the church will be looking for him. Amen. Our half salvation. To sum this up, I wrote a song, Words and Music. The chorus I will not recite to you, but the words completely, absolutely sum this up. Because we were dead in sin, we were barred from heaven's home. Only one could let us in, for mankind's sin could atone. Jesus died for every sin. Father raised him up again. He's the first. He's the fire. He's the friend.
Amen.
With his stripes, we are healed. He took sickness on his back. He left all of heaven's glory so that you, child, would not lack. Jesus shed his precious blood for remission of all sin. He's the first. He's the fire. He's the friend. At the seventh trumpet sound, heaven's gates shall open wide. King of kings, the great I am, for the marriage of his bride. He shall sit upon his throne. Of his kingdom there's no end. You're the first. You're the fire. You're the friend.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you now the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was really awesome
word.
Message. Yeah.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelations 21:4.
Absolutely great, Scott. Perfect heaven on earth. Everybody wants to be there. So, before I pray for healing, I want all of you to be there. Pray this prayer with me all over the world now. God bless you, everyone. The nations keep joining. I praise God for that. Join me. Pray this prayer, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me through thy word.
Sanctify me through thy word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, my precious friends all over the world, I love you. I feel your spirit. If you pray that prayer, Romans says with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. I invite you to. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession on that. And when I get it, I check them shortly. I will pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also may email me your confession. Here is my email, Sherry, Shari Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G's for God. And welcome to the family of God. I love you. I feel led today to pray. There's someone I've been picking up in the world. Your heart is so broken. You've been crying for a week, and I've been crying with you. I feel it. I have that gift. It's hard, but I have it. God is very near those of a broken heart. He'll wipe away your tears. You know who you are. I'm praying for you. Precious Father, in Jesus' name, look upon this, your child, who has weeping, crying. The heart is broken in two. The feeling of aloneness is so horrible. I ask you to pour in the oil and wine, send the comfort, even the Holy Spirit. Let not their heart be troubled, Father. Give them peace that passes understanding. Your left hand on their head, your right hand embrace them. Let joy come in the morning. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Joy comes in the morning. You know who you are. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I love you too with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time we all get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument. All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart and show. Your goodness. blood. And when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. My Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me.
Return to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering. And though you still more than I need. You're enough for me. You're enough for me. Oh. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
I'm not saying you won't be tempted. I'm not saying you won't have problems. I'm not saying you won't have fears. I'm saying they won't have the last word.
Dr. Tony Evans reminds us we don't have to be victims of spiritual attacks.
They will no longer be the dictator. They will no longer be the controller of your life. They may show up, but they will no longer have final say-so.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans has said spiritual temptation and opposition can't be avoided, but they can be overcome. Today, we'll hear about how to do that as he takes us to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's get started.
A lot of us have been duped into thinking that the devil is winning. We've been duped into thinking he's running the show, calling the shots, and we are puppets on his string. We've been duped into thinking that he is the final decision maker about our joy, our happiness, our well-being, our spirituality, and all the other elements that make life work because he seems to be running the show. Well, I came to you with some good news today. Wipe the sweat off your forehead, dry your weeping eyes, and take those jittering fingers out of your clashing teeth because you, not he, gets to make the final move. Now, to understand that, you have to understand the history of the conflict that we call spiritual warfare. You see, God made the first move when he created angels. Lucifer reacted negatively to that move and rebelled against God, took one-third of the angels with him. God countered that move by creating man in his own image, a little lower than the angels. Satan rebelled against that move by getting Adam and Eve to turn the earth over to his control. Yeah, but God countered that move by providing a redemptive covering for Adam and Eve so that they could return back to fellowship with God. Of course, Satan tried to counter that move by getting Cain to kill Abel in order to cut off the godly line. Well, that's when God countered that move through the birth of Seth so that men began to call on the name of the Lord again. Of course, that's when Satan tried to counter that move through the birth of Nimrod, who built the civilizations of Babylon and Assyria. They gathered at the Tower of Babel to build a religion in defiance of God. Of course, that's when God countered that move by going to the heir of the Chaldees, finding a man named Abraham, and saying, I'm going to create my own nation that will obey. Of course, that's when Satan countered that move by getting them trapped into Egypt so that Pharaoh would not let them go. But then God countered that move by going to Moses in Midian and telling him to go tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. And the whole Old Testament is move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move. And we're not sure who win in this game. You come to the end of the Old Testament, there are 400 silent years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. Both sides are just staring at the board. But when the New Testament opens up, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, till you get to Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, who begot Joseph, who was married to Mary, by whom was born Jesus Christ. Up until this time, God would find a man and use a man. When the New Testament opens up, God says, I'm tired of this mess. Let me come on down here and take care of this mama myself. So God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. Satan tried to counter that move by tempting him in the wilderness. Jesus overcame that through the use of the word of God. And then he made his final move by getting Jesus Christ nailed to a cross to forever get rid of this agent of God. But that's when God made the final move. Because early on Easter Sunday morning, a little while before day, the grave was open. Jesus Christ arose and the final move was made, the move he didn't bank on. And that